Hello, this is Kathleen Lovell, your roving reporter for the Society of Neurolinguistic Programming. And we have a very special guest today with us, Mr. Alessio Roberti of Italy. Hello, Alessio.
Hi.
Good to have you with us today.
My pleasure.
And Alessio, how long has it been when you first found NLP?
15 years.
15 years
ago.
And how did you find out about NLP?
I read a couple of books by Richard and Tony Robbins.
And what was the first seminar that you actually attended?
First seminar was a Prague with Richard in London.
And then you knew, huh? This was something to go more with.
I didn't get that much because my English was really poor. But I got a lot like, this is the thing that I should study and learn.
And how long have you been a trainer in NLP?
From 98, I think.
Okay. Now, you have an institute in Italy.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about that.
Our company is basically structured in four different fields. Mm-hmm. We do NLP courses and NLP consulting companies. We do accelerated learning courses, coaching, and negotiation courses. Plus, we've got the publishing company, who is now, say, the leader in NLP books, because we publish some of Richard Bandler books, some of the latest books on NLP, and we are also publishing books on coaching, accelerated learning, and negotiation. These are our four fields.
And you also have the Persuasion Engineering book.
Of course.
In Italian.
Of course.
That's great. What are some of the other books that you've translated?
Oh, we've got Persuasion Engineering, we've got Time for a Change, we've got Tools for Dreamers by Robert Dilts. We've got applications of NLP, so an old book by Robert Dilts. We've got
Precision Communications.
Precision Communication, yes. Yeah. It's doing really good, especially when we do training in companies. This is a sort of manual that we give to the participants because there's a lot of good exercise. Because usually participants in a training course say, oh, this is good. How can I train and focus on every aspect so that it can be mine? Yeah. So we usually give them the precision.
And you do also the practitioner and the master practitioner?
We run, the average is one practitioner per month at the moment, with an average of 25 participants each.
Mm-hmm. And the master practitioner?
And we run four master practs per year. Hmm. This is our average at the moment.
That's
working
great.
In Milan and Rome, basically.
Those are the two major cities.
Yes.
You've trained in other places as well?
We train in Milan, Bologna, that is another big city. We train in Rome, and then we do in-house courses for basically every week we are in some of the biggest companies in Italy.
Do you have a favorite course yourself of all the seminars that you've been to with us and with Richard? And do you have a favorite one?
I should say a lot of courses. I mean, I love the practitioner because to me, everything started from the practitioner. Really, reading books is one thing. Sitting down and doing a practice is completely different experience. So the practice is still my favorite course. But I should say, even if it's, I don't know if many people can get the opportunity to do it, the course that we just did, the Meditation Magic and Change,
yes,
to me is still one of my favorites.
Yeah, that
There's
was
so
wonderful.
Much, how can I say, work. You've got time to work on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That was really a great course for me.
Yeah. And I'd like to also mention that, while we're on the subject, is that you yourself as a trainer has continued to come back every year to our events in Orlando, not only to help us out, but to still be a student. And that's so great for a trainer to understand that there's just so much more to learn. It's good.
I think you cannot be really a trainer if you don't be a student.
Yeah.
It's like, when I analyze the big trainers, really I think the great trainers, you realize that these guys are learning every day. It's like they cannot teach if they are not learning.
Yeah.
It's like really a continuous improvement. This is one of the things that I find in common with big trainers.
Right.
And to me, it's not really like I want to be a big trainer. It's more, it's like feeding. I need to have my pasta. I need to have my salads, I have to make my pizza, and I have to make my learning. I cannot go to bed without having learning. And learning can come from a book, but can come from experiences, can come to go to a good shop and have a great salesman and learn from him. Mm-hmm. There's many, many ways.
If you had a new trainer come up to you and ask you for some advice, what would you tell them about becoming an NLP trainer or opening up an institute?
I think there are two different things. Becoming an NLP trainer, to me, means you've got to do your homework. You've got to do your trainings, and personally, I don't think it's enough to do one practice, one master, and the trainer's training if you want to teach these things. It's like want to be a car driver license trainer and having your done your license for driving the car. I think it doesn't work. I think you can teach something when you master it. Master means really do. I took at least something like 10 practitioners with Richard and something like 10 master practice before even thinking about mm-hmm. teaching a practice. There's so many important things in a practice, and then I don't think you can teach them if you have attended only it once. Mm-hmm. For example, to be an assistant in our courses, the minimum is 2 practitioner attendance. You've got to have attended the practice 2 times, the master 2 times, and then you can apply to be an assistant in our team. Mm-hmm. And not training, assisting.
Yeah, that's good. It's very good advice. It's so many people, they want to do all the programs like within 2-3 months and then go teach. And you have to live with the skills and work with them and work with people. But you have one of the largest institutes in existence right now in yeah. NLP in terms of the number of trainers you have on staff and the number of corporate contracts you have as well. What is one thing that you look for in someone who would work for you? What do you look for?
First thing, passion. I mean, if you don't have passion in what you are doing, forget it.
Patience.
Yeah, no, passione. Passion. Passion.
That sound. What was that in Italian again?
Passione.
Oh, sounds so much better.
Passione. I think you should go passione.
Yes.
Then from that, you learn, you get the skills, you get the sales skills, you get the negotiation skills, you get all the other things. But it's something that you got to feel. This is your path. This is what you want to do. But that's another thing. It's not enough. I usually say to my trainers, to all our team, that we need 2 things to work in our company. You need heart and brain. I don't know if it works in English, but in Italy it works really good. It's like you can have a great brain, you can be a genius in many things, do maths and do great stuff, but if you don't have heart, so you don't have passione, mm-hmm. I don't think you can work with us. Right. Because I find, at least at the beginning, it's really difficult to consider this a business. Mm-hmm. One of my top trainers, when we started together, we spent the first 6 months without earning 1 euro, 0, for 6 months. And this guy he was just marrying, so he had a wife, he had a mortgage payment, but he says, this is what I want to do. It will take time, but I'm sure, and we refused some big contracts. I remember it was at the beginning, we had these multi-million euros companies, and they call us and they say, we want to do trainings in NLP for the bunch of idiots who work for us. And we say, no, thanks. I mean, yeah, it's not really the kind of attitude we want to have also with clients. I mean, I think you've got to decide to whom you want to work for as a trainer as well. So passione, I think, is the basic thing. You've got to have the heart and you've got to have the brain. I met, I think, hundreds of trainers in my life, and these guys were really passionate about what they were doing, but then they had no sales skills, no negotiation skills, no even an idea of what a business is. Mm-hmm. And so they just waste a lot of time.
Tell me a little bit about the conferences you have in, is it in Milan, the conferences?
Yes. What we did is, I mean, now we've been doing this work for a lot of years. At the moment we are running a sort of conferences. We call it courses, really, because mm-hmm. conferences to me is like somebody's talking and the other people are listening. This is not the way we do it. And I don't think that NLP is one talking, the other listening. So we call it courses. What we do is we publish, at the moment we publish 30 books, And if you buy one of our books in every bookshop in Italy, well, you can, you've got the opportunity to attend this course. So it's not really a for free event. It's if you buy a book that means that you are interested in this, then you can attend this course. And we run this course every month in the three biggest cities in Italy. That is Milan, Rome, and Bologna. And people who are interested, they can pop in and spend an entire day basically attending an introductory course, mm-hmm. In which they learn about, where these NLP things comes from, and they do some exercises just to have a taste of how NLP works. I don't think NLP is something you can explain. It's something you've got to try and feel in your body.
Absolutely. Is there anything in particular that a special memory you have as a trainer, maybe a funny story that happened?
I've had a lot of funny stories, but let's say one that really was like a big surprise for me was for free thing, that event that I did in a big bookshop in Milan. This big bookshop asked me to do a presentation of the NLP books, so I said, of course. It was a Friday, 6 p.m. in the center of Milan, a lot of people. And I had this top businessman sitting in the front row. Near him, there was a guy who was a coach in a sport team, and near him, there was a homeless guy. And it was really fun. I mean, I realized that NLP can be really for everybody. My first course in NLP was, the name was PNL per tutti. That means NLP for everybody. But then it was really for everybody. And I spent some time talking to them and answering questions. And I spent some time at the end of the presentation talking to each of these guys. And it struck me that everybody was considering NLP useful. I spent time with the businessman. I spent some time with the sports coach. He was telling me that according to him, especially in Italy, structure is really important. He was saying that they usually select three big aspects in a football player: the technical skills, the physical skills, and the one that is always missing is the mind skills. Because you cannot do a good job while you are doing sport if you are not there with your mind. Mm-hmm. And so he was interested in NLP for mental training. And at the end, when everybody leaves, I stay and have a chat with the homeless guy. Because he was like sitting there, and then he moved to a corner, and I was looking at him, and he was like, I want to talk to you. So I just spent some time talking to him, and he showed me this, a sort of piece of paper. And he said, he looked at me with all these piece of paper in his hands, and he say, I'm the man who is putting all this piece of paper all around Milan. And I say, yes, and? And he says, I think there's something wrong in what I'm writing in these papers. And I say, so? So he say, can you read this? And I say, of course. And so this guy was a sound like 50 years old homeless guy. So I read these papers, and he was putting all this paper all over Milan, and was written like, I don't want you to think that I'm an ugly man. I don't want you to think that I'm a pervert. I don't want you to think that I'm like all the other men. And he says, I'm putting this because I'm looking for a lady to spend some time with and create a life. Do you think there's something wrong in it? I say, I think we can work on it. I mean, he was really using all these, don't think that I'm this, don't think that I'm that. And so he was putting in the people who were reading his papers all these bad things. And so I said, did somebody answer your? And he said, no, I never got contacted. Now, it was a funny thing, because I had really a different kind of people in the same event, and I really realized that this NLP stuff is really useful, from the top businessman to the homeless.
Right, everybody can get something out of it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Speaking of funny things, there's so many, I ask this question of so many different trainers, and I'm asking you, is there one line or phrase that Richard has said in a book or a CD or a tape that you've heard, or maybe even live at a seminar, that really hit home for you? And everyone tells me, I can't pick one or two, there's so many. But I'm going
to
ask you
anyway.
To me,
the basic concept is, and this is why I told you that one of the courses that really I like was the Meditation Changing Magic, is the concept that Richard wrote in the book, the new book, A Conversation with Owen.
Yes.
Is the thing that NLP is really about freedom. It's not, because a lot of people say, yeah, but this stuff comes from therapy. Some people say, yeah, but this stuff is from network marketing. And Richard has a big sentence, which he said, NLP is not about therapy, it's not about network marketing, NLP is about freedom. But then freedom is a nominalization. So my question is, freedom to do what? And I got a big answer again in this course when he was saying NLP is about freedom, is about the magic of NLP, is the possibility to decide how you want to feel inside and to change how you feel inside. Mm-hmm. I started studying psychology years ago in university, and then I moved to sociology because to me there was not that much in psychology. And all these people were saying, if a depressed is depressed, it's depressed. And then what? And we can give drugs. If somebody is like, if somebody has a disease, this is it. You just have to, what is the fucking word they use? It's like, elaborate, something like this. You've got to live with it.
Right.
And you've got to accept
it. Put up with it.
Yeah, but I mean, to me, it's not the attitude of NLP.
Right.
That's why I think it's really NLP is about the freedom. And of course, freedom means you've got to decide. You can also spend your life living in a shitty state for all the day. And I think the great majority of people decided to do that. But I think NLP gives you the freedom to decide how you want to stay, how you want to feel inside. And if you don't like it, NLP gives you the tools to change the way. I want to just add another thing. The first course that I did, I was 20-something years old in Milan, and I had this 65-year-old psychiatrist in my practitioner. I was teaching my first practitioner. And this guy came to me, not during the course, but at the end of the course, and he told me this. I have been in psychotherapy and I've been in psychiatry for almost all the great majority of my life. Now I'm 65 years old. But I want to tell you one thing. NLP is the only place where I read really the tools in which I can help my patients to change the way they represent their life in a way that they can feel better. It's like there's a lot of theories. And people can say, oh, you can change your life. Yes, but how? And he said, I got the answers by studying NLP. So I think this is the basic thing for me, the sentence which Richard says, NLP is about freedom, the freedom to decide how you want to feel.
Absolutely. Well, Alessio, it's been great talking with you today. I wish you lots of luck with all your future plans for your NLP Italy.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Have fun.
Have a great day.
You too.
This is Kathleen Laval, your roving reporter for the Society of Neurolinguistic Programming, and stay tuned for another interview with trainers from around the world.